Hi, my name's Monica Cornetti, and I'm your host for the weekly Gamification Talk Radio program. Let me just take a few minutes to define gamification, since it's such a hot, new, cutting-edge tool, and explain why now is the time for you to start designing with gamification. There is a new normal. Bing Gordon, who is a venture tech capitalist, has said that if your employees or your clients or your customers were born after 1971, then there is a new normal. In fact, we can call this new normal the G generation or the gamers. The G generation is over 56 million strong. So it's a combination of Gen Xers, those who were born between 1965 and 1981, and millennials born since 1982. And right now, the G generation is moving up in the business ranks, becoming managers, partners, and eventually CEOs. Chances are you manage employees from this generation, and in all likelihood, before you leave your career, you may be managed by them. Before long, their way of thinking will pass the tipping point and become standard operating procedure in business. And those of us who are boomers, born between 46 and 64, who grew up without video games, we'll have to understand the gamers. That means not only learning what they're all about, but finding ways to redesign organizational onboarding, engagement, training, and even how work is done. The term gamification first appeared on Google Trends in September 2010. At that time, it was a $100 million a year industry, and it is expected to swell to at least $2.8 billion by 2015. With a trend like this, do you think that you should consider gamification for your employee motivation and engagement efforts? Gamification, to simplify it, to define it, is the use of game elements and game design techniques and mechanics in a non-game context. So let's take a look at how you can use game elements and game design techniques in your training and development programs, design, implementation within your organization. The very first step, just like in any training program or in anything you're doing with your business, is you have to define the business objectives. What is it you want to achieve? Oftentimes when I work with clients, they aren't real sure on this. They have a general idea, but they don't really have real firm numbers on it. So what are your measurable business objectives? Your business probably has a set of goals for both short-term and long-term, and there's usually a hierarchy to them. At the top level, an organization will create a mission statement, setting out the purpose of the organization, and then that'll be followed by a set of objectives relating to market share, customer satisfaction, employee satisfaction, return to shareholders, things that help to contribute to the society, such as cutting pollution, reducing waste. All of these can be objectives. So when you're looking to gamify something, you have to go back to, well, what is it we want to achieve? What are our objectives? And then when you're bringing this into training and development, my first place to start after the objective is to always start with the story. My model is that good gamification in training should consist of good storytelling. Training should never be just about delivering facts. Storytelling allows us to connect to the learner on an emotional level. Studies show that learners comprehend and retain more through stories. Therefore, we want to weave stories into the instructional design and delivery of all of our courses. And the good news is you don't have to start with a blank page. I mean, there are public domain stories that you can use as a foundation. So things like Alice in Wonderland, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Sherlock Holmes. Have you noticed how many versions of Sherlock Holmes there are? There's a new one out this fall, and then there's one on BBC, and then there's an old one on BBC, and there's movies about it, and there's miniseries, and that's because this is a public domain story, so we can take it and work with it and use it as a foundation. And things like King Arthur, or anything associated with the Holy Grail, you'll find a whole list of literature that you can use as a foundation for your stories. You don't have to use it as they were written. They can be a catalyst to get the creativity flowing, if nothing else. When you think about training and development, what you remember are usually the stories that you were told. So you want your stories to provide interesting, meaningful context for the learning objectives. Keep it relevant, not too complex. Story choices drive the motivating factors. So you want to solve a mystery, go on a quest, beat the enemy, save the prince, but make sure it's relevant. I'm working with a group right now looking at designing an app, and we were talking about different storylines, and the app is a great one. I can't share too much information on it, but we talked about they were offering some ideas about like zombies and going to war, you know, like a fighting thing, and I thought, well, you know, does that really have anything to do with what this app is trying to solve? And my answer was no, so I suggested they do more of a reality TV show theme, something like Survivor, getting off an island, working with the team. So a story should not be a story just for a story's sake. You want to keep it relevant and make it meaningful to what you're trying to accomplish, whatever your learning objectives are. Now, the next thing we'll look at are the game elements. The game elements are the toolkit that you use to build a game. So game elements include game pieces, avatars, rules, scoring points, getting to the next level, getting badges, unlocking a reward. And as you begin to gamify a system, you want to modify the elements to target certain business objectives and to make the experience more engaging. After we've thought through the game elements, we now look at the game mechanics. The game mechanics are those aspects of the games that make them fun, addicting, and challenging. So, unfortunately, that can't be reduced to a list of components or step-by-step instructions. This is where game design techniques come in. It's just like strategic leadership, managing a team, or creating a killer marketing campaign. Game design is a strong mix of knowledge, skill, and luck. Now, the cool thing is that you don't have to know technology to know gamification. It is about the psychology of motivating people and getting them to do what you need them to do. So would you like some ideas of how you can use story and the game elements, the building blocks, and then the game mechanics, the psychology, to bring that into training and development and do it in stuff you're already doing? You don't have to start all over. You can incorporate these into trainings you already have developed. Let me give you some examples of what I've designed for clients. One of my favorite is a payroll administration class. The course was originally designed in a very traditional fashion, starting with several course objectives such as the learner will understand how to ensure you're withholding, reporting, and paying the right taxes. Block, gag, right? I mean, it's important stuff, but still not very interesting. The course then provided a list of terminologies participants had to learn, plus an alphabet soup of local, state, and federal acronyms. The problem was that after the individuals left this six-hour class, they still felt uneasy and uncertain about whether they were complying with payroll laws. So I decided to mix it up a little bit and add gamification to the instruction. Now, the lawyer who designed the course was not happy or excited about this at all. I started the class with me holding an apple in my hand and saying the following. What does an apple have to do with payroll administration? Of course, I was met with uncertain looks, and then I said, what if I told you this was a poison apple? What could the poison apple represent? Could it be not knowing the facts, violating the laws, getting caught, and even forced to submit to a Department of Labor or IRS audit? Well, that's why we're here today, so you don't ever have to take a bite of the poison apple. Then the rest of the day was centered on a spin-off of the traditional story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now, this is an example of public domain. Snow White is public domain. The dwarfs are trademarked. So I did a spin on the characters in order to include them in the story. And the characters were developed to be included in all the problems, the calculations, and all the assessments. So, for example, I had Grumpy Gus and had a picture of an older gentleman in a cardigan sweater, grumpy look on his face, and that's who represented Grumpy Gus for us. And we all know that person, right? No matter what anyone says, Grumpy's always against it. He's a know-it-all, he's a naysayer, and he's got the personality of an old boot. But why do you think he's grumpy? Well, as it turns out, in the section on garnishments, we found out that he has not one but two ex-wives, and he hasn't been paying his child support, and now his wages are being garnished. It's no wonder he's grumpy. And his example of ex-wives and child support were used to calculate how much we needed to withhold in the garnishments. Another one was Dopey Dan. Well, Dopey Dan, good-looking guy, suit, you know, nice smile, found the perfect graphic to match him, somebody that, you know, you just naturally like him. Well, it turns out Dopey Dan, he's the boss's son, and we're not really sure what he does. His job description has him classified as an executive exempt, but you're not really even sure he qualifies for that. Now, see, down the road, that could get you in trouble with overtime laws if he was really supposed to be classified as hourly. So we now looked at what does it take to classify somebody as an exempt versus non-exempt employee and used Dopey Dan's job description in that classification. So throughout the day, there were examples like that. The stories were woven within. There was an individual and team activities, competitions, quizzes, test your knowledge, checkpoints. Because we're in a training class, we need to be learning things. And all of these were based on the storyline and included many elements of just plain fun. Like trying to apply the IRS guidelines to determine if the woodsman was really an independent contractor or was he technically an employee of the Queen. So you remember the story, the Queen sent the woodsman into the forest with Snow White, and he was supposed to take her far into the forest and distract her and then carve out her heart and put it in a box and bring it back. Now, I know this is a child's fairy tale, and it was very detailed what she wanted him to do. So when you look at the IRS guidelines for independent contractor versus employee, it looks like the Queen crossed the line and the woodsman was not an independent contractor and would have to be classified as an employee. So the last challenge of the day was a recap of key points via a case study. And when the participants, they worked in teams like they were all day, were able to make recommendations that were in line with the payroll guidelines, they received these little gems that I just bought at a big box store, a little box of gems that had peel-off backs on them, and they could glue these gems onto a crown. Everyone was given a crown. Okay, now, as you're listening, you're thinking that's really childish. And I had the entire C team of the organization battling to get the correct recommendations and earn the most jewels. It was fascinating and rewarding to watch how simply adding challenge, interaction, storyline, and constant feedback throughout the day to make sure they were on track with the learning to an otherwise dry, boring, difficult topic created an engaged and enthusiastic room of learners. And here's the thing. They won't remember the IRS checklist for independent contractor versus employee. They won't remember every factor on there. But what they will remember is that there is a checklist that has to be looked at when you're trying to determine if it's an independent contractor. And this is something the IRS is serious about. So anytime those questions come up, you don't have to remember exactly all the information. You just have to remember where you can go find it, which is in, you know, a payroll law book or out online. But the point is they understood there's a checklist. We need to compare what's being asked to do versus what the checklist says so we can classify independent contractor or employee correctly. When we're doing training, we need the training to stick. thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars are spent each year, and how much of the training actually sticks. It's really fascinating when you see taking the game elements and the game mechanics and putting them together with a storyline to make it fun and addicting and challenging. Another example is I'm working with a company that has a volunteer workforce. And so this is a different type of workforce than most of us have to work with. Some not-for-profits work with volunteers. And, you know, I learned when I was working for a not-for-profit, the executive director always said, you can't light a fire in their heart. No, let me get it right. You can't light a fire under their butt until you light it in their heart first. So basically with volunteers, you've got to make them, you know, really want to do it. And most of the time they already do. So you don't have to worry about lighting the fire in the heart, but you want to keep kindling it, keep it going. So understanding that the best games are wrapped in an epic story and take place in their own magic circle or unique world, I recommended to this company that they develop some kind of hero persona. And since great gamification is all about the experience, building the project around a storyline, it'll enhance their users' experience and motivate continued interaction. They already have a great point systems in place where they win tangible extrinsic rewards, and we're going to now work with that system that is working and just enhance it with some more intrinsic rewards and levels and status and authority and recognition. So some of the game mechanics that we'll use as we continue to roll this out is setting up the game, so the story, so all these volunteers understand what it's all about, and it will get them engaged in the purpose of the learning. Current objectives list. Right now they're not quite hitting their business objectives, so we're going to look at what the objectives are and where they are and where what the difference is. We'll have a cumulative score so that the students will have very clear feedback with how they're doing versus this performance metric. What they do requires a real sense of urgency. They have to respond very quickly. So we'll have a countdown clock as part of as they are learning the information to impart that urgency that of the importance of timely actions. And we want to connect all that to what they're already doing well and get it even to the next level. So when you're looking at what you're trying to achieve in your training and development, you can use gamification in what you're already doing well. You've got objectives. Maybe you're just, you know, maybe you have a certain percentage of people that are hitting it and then another that just aren't. We have to go back to, have we been really clear on the objectives? Do we know what it is we need to achieve? And then how can we wrap the gamification elements to enhance it? Another class called This Ain't Your Grandma's Grammar, and it's for a client who delivers corporate training in business grammar. So, you know, another, okay, stick a pencil in my eye kind of training, but it's important because we don't use the same grammar in business that we were taught in elementary school. People don't talk that way anymore. For example, in the sentence structure module, we have an introductory scene that introduces the context and make sure that we give cues and questions that promote thinking and reflection on the part of the student. So we'll have some different conversation or dialogues that demonstrate appropriate communication protocols. For example, the section, a split infinitive. We know the theme from Star Trek, right? The mission of Star Trek was to boldly go where no man has gone before. Well, that's, oh my gosh, to boldly go where no one's gone before. That's amazing. And grammatically, it's incorrect. It's a split infinitive. So to say it correctly, the mission statement would have been written to go boldly where no man has gone before. Well, that just sounds boring. It doesn't sound interesting or inviting or exciting. So it's okay to do a split infinitive there'll be a learning management system that's already in place that this will tie back to reinforce. So it's really a lot of fun. They get rewarded with grandma kind of rewards, with things like oatmeal raisin cookies and just silly things. And it comes back to the class is already good. The gentleman whose company that this is that has the corporate training for business writing, he's already got a great workshop. The gamification is just going to take it to that next level that makes it really fun and interesting and makes it stick. The reinforcement through the learning management system means that they can go back at any time to review. It'll be at their fingertips. They know exactly where to go to get the information. And that's what this is all about. How do we take our training and development and get it up to the next level? We're doing this radio program talking to the most fascinating people from all over the world. And one of the gentlemen I spoke with yesterday, he was talking about how gamification, one of the main things that it does is that in life we don't always have rules. Like we don't always have rules about how to be a good spouse or really how to excel in school or to be a great employee. I mean, we have ideas. You know, there's things that we can learn on it, but there aren't like a set of rules that you can follow. Do this, this, and this, and now you'll be a great spouse. But in games, you do have those rules. You have your objectives, how to win the game. And then when you're playing the game, you know you have to do this and this, and if you do that, you get some extra points, you get some cash, or you get some extra tokens, or whatever that is, you get to level up. But you just follow the rules, and when you follow the rules, you can win the game. And that's what makes gamification so cool when we're adding it into training and development. We can take something that, what do we need to achieve here? How can we measure if we have achieved it? What do we need them to do in order to achieve it? Put that on some kind of weighted scale. Here's the rules. Follow it step by step. Using the storylines and the rewards will help to make it stick. As you listen to the radio program from week to week, you're going to hear all different kinds of experts in all different kinds of areas of gamification. We'll look at not just training and development, but the difference in generations and even communicating effectively to generations in your workforce. We'll look at how gamification can be working against you, how it can even negatively be affecting your business objectives if you haven't gamified in the right way. We'll also look at different platforms, some that are for a fee and a lot that are low or no cost, so that your barrier to entry is low if you want to add the technology. And we are at that perfect storm where technology enables us to add really cool elements to our training and development. And some of it can cost you quite a bit of money, and then there's others out there that you can use to get rolling right away. You could go totally no tech, like I did with Snow White and the payroll law. Total no tech. You could go low tech, where maybe they've got to use the internet to look up some information. You could do a hybrid, where you do a no-tech combined with a learning management system. You could do a hybrid where you do what you already have in place with the no-tech and add to it one of the programs that have been designed with a really low cost so that they're actually playing a game, to add real games into your training and development as far as like a video game, not something like Jeopardy type of game, but an actual video game where as they're proceeding through the game, they're learning, and then evaluate whether it's fun. Is it something that people will want to do? Because one of the basic elements of games is that it's voluntary. We have to have that element of fun for training and development, because people go to a payroll law class, for example. They may have been sent there because they need to understand the payroll law. They're more a little bit in that prisoner mindset rather than voluntary, once they see that it's fun, then now they're in it. They've crossed over that line where they've entered the magic circle and they want to play. So we want to make sure that anything that we're doing with the Gamify process is fun. When you're looking at what you can expect to get, you'll find from gamification that you can use it for increasing engagement, solving problems, building brand loyalty. It's really pretty endless. It all comes back to the psychology of the design. Join us again next Saturday. Please feel free to contact me with any questions. Visit the website. You can connect with me at monicacornetti.com. I've got free white papers, free videos that you can download to just get you into gamification a little bit more, to get you more familiar with how the concept works so that you can see that, hey, you know, with a little bit of help, I could actually make this happen. I know that working with Monica, we could gamify this. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next week. And remember that gamification is fun. See you next Saturday. Thanks so much.